Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Pastor. If I could get some ushers, I have my notes right here. I need some ushers. I've got some notes for you guys to hand out here. And if I could have some ushers. What I did is I broke down my sermon. You'll see we'll have different parts to it, but what I wanted you guys to have in your hands was a section where there's a couple fill-in-the-blanks, and I'll let you know when that starts. And then as well, there's an area where I'm going to give you some practical tips and some basic safeguards to help you. And you'll notice there, I'm going to talk about a lot of different things. And one of the things that you'll see there is some basic tips. I'm going to mention apps and different software and programs and products and different things that people have used over the years to help them filter and manage their internet at home. But some things may apply to you and some things may not. So I left some blanks in there so that while I say things and I put things on the screen, if the Holy Spirit leads you and saying, honey, that's something we need to do, or that the Holy Spirit is your wife, you know? Or as a teenager, you may be sitting over there, some of you teenagers are there, you see something, you write it down, you say, you know, I need to look that up and find out, because there are thousands of things and solutions that we can use to access and guide your internet. Here, I'm just stalling right now because I'm trying to get my presentation up. So there's no tech guy tonight because it's me. But it'll come up here in a second. I don't know if you've noticed. It says high-tech Christianity, and that's the title of the message. And this is what happens when you stall. You say things, you make gestures with your arms, and then you look like you're looking for something in the Bible. And then after that, you walk over here a little bit. You make sure you connect to the correct Wi-Fi. And then after that, you walk over here a little bit, and you give some more gestures to this crowd so they feel included in what you're trying to do. And then after that, you finally get connected, and you're looking at your notes because you're contemplating on what you're going to say to the people of God. We're going to have a little bit of fun tonight, but I hope you'll see that there'll be some seriousness to what we're talking about, and Lord willing, it'll be a blessing to you. Let's open up with a word of prayer, and after that, we'll take a look at the message tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for what you've done and how you've been good to us, Lord. I pray that you would help us to find ways that we can be better servants of what you've given us, Father. We're going to be talking about the idea of technology tonight. We're going to be talking about the concept of filtering and the blessings and the pitfalls of technology. And Lord, we just want to serve you, Lord. I believe that people in this auditorium tonight really have sincere hearts to do that which is right. And Father, if they follow you, Lord, and if they seek first the kingdom of God, and they follow your commandments, and they really desire to worship you, and they really desire to be the Christians they ought to be, Father, they'll be able to have some success in this area of technology and be able to protect their family from the wiles and the fiery darts from Satan that he hurls at us every day. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this message. Be with the people tonight. Father, thank you for this wonderful crowd and this church that you have planted here in Las Vegas, Nevada, to be a light and to be salt in this dark city of sin, Lord. And I thank you for Pastor Tice and what he's contributed, Lord, and the hard work he's put in to serve you, Lord. I pray that we would follow him as he follows Christ, and we thank you for him. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. Guide my tongue tonight, and I pray that this message would be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're looking at the idea of high-tech Christianity. Now, I don't know about you, but it's obvious that technology is something that has heavily influenced our lives. I don't know, some of you grew up through, over the years, maybe you've seen different technologies invade your space or your thought, and some older generations, I talked to my grandfather, and it's amazing, he was about 7 or 8 years old when, and he's French, when he was 7 or 8 years old, when the Germans rolled in with their Panzer tanks into the village where he lived in France, and he actually thought they were They were robots because they were, you know, leather, the big helmets. They were taller than these French people. And it was kind of like War of the Worlds, you know, and he wasn't sure what was going on. And by the grace of God, his family was able to leave and leave France at that time. And they came to Canada. But we just put Skype on his computer a little while ago so we can talk. And he's up in Montreal, Canada. And it's amazing that over the years, the things that he says, just the things that change. And it's amazing, he says, he remembers when none of this existed. And he remembers when there was absolutely nothing available like this. And for him to catch up with what's going on is just, it's a full-time job. And so he calls me and says, what does this mean? How do I check this email thing, you know? And I'll try to help him out a little bit. But it's amazing how times have changed. And I just lost my PowerPoint again here. Sorry about that. And so technology has obviously changed over the years, hasn't it? Now, I'm going to take you back down memory lane here, and maybe some of you can identify. So as I look at some different technologies, I want you to maybe just say amen, or I'll maybe ask you to raise your hand if it's something that you recognize or something that rings a bell with you. First of all, this is lately what we see. How many can identify with this picture right here? iPads, Kindles, digital devices in your home. And you just raise your hand. All right, that's a majority of you. Good. All right, so some of you don't use this. Some of you have smartphones, and for smart people, you know, and so we've had technologies like this. What about this one? Let's go back a couple years. Yeah, I can hear some amens, right? Right, let's see. All right, Brian, what is that? It's a Nintendo. Yeah, that's a classic gaming system, right? This is things that we grew up on, many of us. I grew up on one of these a little bit later. I was looking for the Super Nintendo. Had just come out one Christmas, and we were in Germany. My dad was at a basic change. Every time we would go to the basic change, I'd look at the Super Nintendo and price it, you know, and hold the box. And, you know, for Christmas, under the Christmas tree, there's a box that was in the shape of the Super Nintendo. I was excited. And then after looking at the Christmas tree, my dad made me do this wild goose chase. And finally, I opened the box, and it was a Nintendo. It was no Super Nintendo. It was just a Nintendo, nothing super about it. But my dad, that's because we were broke. The Nintendo was fantastic. And you know what? I still enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun. All right, you want to go back a little bit more? All right, let's go back a little more. Oh, yes. All right, anybody tell me what this device is that these... Look at the smiles on the face, except for this young man there who's like, oh, it's not my turn yet, you know? The smiles of it. Can anybody tell me what this device is? It's not an Atari. Commodore 64, all right? This was my first gaming computer. When I was 5 years old, it's amazing. My son is 6 now, and he's got a little iPad he plays with. When I was 5, there was no App Store, okay? There was Commodore 64. And I had to write my own games. You know, my dad taught me how to code at 5 years old and to learn BASIC. And it was amazing that we had to wait. Like, we'd put the game in with the floppy drive. Like, you didn't even blow on this one, okay? It's not a Nintendo. You take the floppy disk in there, you close it, you type the code, okay? And then you hit enter, and then you go down and eat dinner. And then when you came back up, hopefully it didn't crash, you know? So that was what we grew up on. All right, so yeah, definitely we had some great technologies. What about this one? Oh, all right. I see Kurt over there. I'm not with you there. This is early game for you. Okay, the black and white television. Some of you watched. My dad said he watched the Apollo missions on black and white television when the first man, you know, landed on the moon. He said it was an amazing, revolutionary thing. How, you know, this was something new that we've never experienced before. Now, some of you might say, okay, this is good. All right, I wanted to go back. I wanted to help Pastor out so he could feel included. I wanted Kurt to feel included as well. So notice there's a young Lebanese boy there, right there. And he's playing Guess Which One to Jesus, okay? So this would be old gaming technology, you know, that we had. But I saw that picture and I said, man, this is great. I'm going to put that up there. But, you know, in all seriousness, you know, obviously, listen, I know this is a picture and we don't know what Jesus looked like. And I can't wait to see him face to face one day, right? But the idea, though, is, you know, this is a figment of our kind of a our modern imagination. But you know what's amazing? Although technology has changed, aren't you glad for a Savior who has not changed? He's the same yesterday as he is today, as he forever will be. It doesn't matter what the technology throws and maybe the winds of this technological digital storm that we live in. You can always find your anchor. You can always find a safe place in Jesus Christ. And if you follow him, and if you keep your eyes on him, all of these distractions will go away so you can focus on what's important. But on top of that, though, the reason why Pastor asked me to do this is, to be honest, though, with all this technology, there are some major concerns. And one of the things that I've been concerned about technology is, technology is a tool. It's amoral. It's not necessarily good or bad. Some things are created for evil. We understand that. That's obvious. But when you look at technology as a whole, technology is something that we can use as a tool to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can use it for his kingdom work. We can use it to help raise our family. We can use it for educational resources. We can use it for entertainment and fun, wholesome activities. Or we can use it for evil. But nothing has changed over these last, 6,000 years that we've been on this planet or so. We've always been distracted by things. Did you see the children of Israel? They got distracted and they murmured and they complained in the desert and they paid for it. And then later on, we see distractions throughout the times. In fact, at one point, the children of Israel, under the king's reigns, they got distracted. And because they went a-whoring after idols and other ways of worship, God had to take them away into Babylon. Just because they got distracted with worldly things. And these are things that we don't want to be distracted by. And so when we look at some of these topics, I want to make sure that you keep an open mind. I have lots of verses in here. We're not going to look at just one passage of the Bible, but I've got a lot of passages that I'm going to turn to and quote to you. So if you want to write those in the notes, you're more than welcome to put those quotes right in there. But obviously, technology can be a major blessing. And I wanted to start off with a positive. So before I get to some of the things I want you to be concerned about, technology definitely has a major positive. And it can definitely be a blessing in your life. For example, technology has helped us with certain things. You know, this guy, these birds here, and the other one says, he's got Wi-Fi, so he's not connected to a landline. Some of you will get this in about 5 seconds. Okay, insert laugh right there. Good job. Okay, so the idea is, think about it. I know this, it's a funny picture. I saw this, but I said, it's so true. Our lives are so connected nowadays with everything that we have, and that could be definitely positive, a definite blessing we need to be careful of as well. But you know what? I was thinking of some things. I saw some pictures while I was looking up on the internet that I thought would evoke certain emotions, and I thought this is good. I think technology can be a definite blessing for your family. Definitely a blessing for your family. Look at this guy. He's off serving our country somewhere far away. And yet he can communicate with his family via Skype or FaceTime or some technology. I mean, that's an amazing technology. Have you ever thought about this? You can be thousands of miles away and still see your face. Now, the phone, when it came out, was amazing. I mean, before that, even the telegraph was an amazing concept. People can actually communicate with Morse code. And then when the phone came out, you can actually hear the person's voice. But you know how it is. Hearing the person's voice and seeing the expression on their face are two different things. And seeing a loved one far away on a FaceTime or a Skype or something like that is just a huge blessing. And I use this, in our families. I mean, not only that, but think about your cars and your vehicles, GPS. How many times have you used a GPS to get around town or to find something? That's a huge blessing. It's a good technology. Some of you still have maps in your car. I remember when my father-in-law, he was here. When he came, the first thing he went to the 7-Eleven. He got a maps and roads and maps, and he put it inside of the car. And we're like, "All right, we're gonna go somewhere." And I'm like, "Siri, please tell me where." And he's like, "Well, aren't we smarty pants?" And he's old school. And you know what? Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Using an old map, but technology has some positives for your family. You know, there's some you can do online shopping. That's great. I'm telling you, you could save time. With resources and things like that, you could save money a lot of times by comparing price rates and, looking up Geico quotes or other things. I mean, there's all sorts of things you can do online. It's amazing. Think about this week when you walk around, all the things you use, like, oh man, I can't believe I did that online. Oh, I can't believe I did it with my phone. You'll be amazed by how much we're using it. Now, don't get don't get distracted by it, but use it for what it's worth. It can be good for you. What about this? For the family as well. It's fun. They have some great apps nowadays for kids. And this is the Bible app. I know Pastor Berkey likes this one, and he uses it back in the for the kids and sometimes. But you know what? It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. When I'll go downstairs and pray in the morning, and when it's all quiet, and sometimes my son, Pierre, 6 years old, he'll wake up. And while I'm praying there, I've caught him many times. He'll come downstairs, pull out his iPad, and open up the Bible app. And I can hear the music and the passages going on while I'm praying. I mean, this is an amazing thing. Like, kids, my 6-year-old son can visualize the Bible. And then, you know, when he's reading right now in kindergarten, and he's finishing that up. So eventually, I can't wait till he pulls out his old King James and reads that as well, you know? But the idea is, this is a great introduction. Why not? Use it for what it's worth. There's great tools at your disposal for your family. What about at the workplace? Man, some of you use iPads and tablets and phones and communication skills at the workplace all the time. Here's some surgeons doing some heart surgery or open heart surgery using an iPad to have a visual schematic of what they're going to be looking for. I mean, I'm telling you what, technology can definitely be used at the workplace for good. It can increase productivity. You can organize things. You can get rid of paper and lots of great environments you can use that in. What about for ministry? This is our bread and butter over here. We have media ministry here, and we don't do it just for the sake of having big screens and fancy things and nice websites. We do it because we're impacting the world for Jesus Christ. And that's always been our motto is to, whether we're live streaming something or doing something on the radio, is, you know, we'll never see these people possibly, but I can't wait to go to heaven and meet the people that were impacted by the preaching ministry of here, because it went through the airwaves, it went through the internet, it went through some form of media resources. A couple statistics I looked up you might be interested in. Last year in 2015, our website was visited by over 16,000 unique visitors. So over 16,000 different computers or different people visited our website to find information, to look up our church, to watch sermons, to watch the How You Can Know For Sure You're Going to Heaven video. I mean, I don't know everything they did. I can track it, but it's amazing. Over 16,000 people visited our website. You know, over the last several years, we've been using a website called sermonaudio.com where we broadcast all the sermons. And in that time, we've broadcast over 125,316 messages have been listened to. I mean, that's amazing. 125,000 sermons that were listened to. And different speakers from the pulpits that have come here have preached. And these are all over the world. I'm telling you what, I see reports from China. Dozens of people of China every week listen to our sermons. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know what they're doing, but they're listening to Pastor Tice preach. That's a blessing. You go all over the world, we see places where the gospel is completely closed. Middle Eastern countries, hundreds of people every week listen through in Middle Eastern countries to the preaching of God's word from Liberty Baptist Church and from what your giving does and our radio and all those different things. Now, I contacted one of my best friends is Tyler Nickel. He's a missionary pilot in Papua New Guinea. And I emailed him. I talked to him on Friday. I said, hey, man, can you do something for me? And he said, yeah, sure, what do you want? And I just texted him in Facebook Messenger. And I said, hey, can you send me a video about how technology has influenced your ministry? And he said, sure thing. And he sent me a video, and then yesterday he emailed me this thing, and I uploaded it. So we're going to watch it, and we'll see what Tyler is. He's sitting down. He's going to joke a little bit, but I think you'll see the impact that technology has had on his ministry as well.
This is Tyler Nickel hailing you from Papua New Guinea. Yen asked me to do something to give a little bit of credence to the value of technology on the mission field. Radio was obviously invented a long time ago, but it is still transforming the work of proclaiming the gospel in remote areas or to unreached peoples. You know, you go to places in the Middle East where they're not allowed to preach the gospel. Hey, you can pump the gospel in through radio. That's big time. God uses that all over here in Papua New Guinea where people could not get preaching. They haven't had a missionary be able to reach them yet. We can pump them radio, and we can send them radios via aircraft. Aircraft is the next one. Aviation has done a massive amount of transforming work for the sake of advancing the gospel. We use an airplane. I use one myself to help supply missionaries with supplies that they desperately need. Not only that, we get to go in and encourage these people that have been outside of regular contact with people for an extended amount of time. Try going 18 months, try going a year without ever talking to somebody in your native tongue. Another one is internet. Internet, oh man, this has blown away missions in a good way. we can give resources to national pastors. We give them some kind of small tech device that allows them to receive data. We can send them electronic libraries, books, Bible commentaries, Greek and Hebrew materials, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of things to help Bible translators so that a translator can work in one location and work with a translator helper in another location and communicate via Skype or whatever. Internet is just a huge blessing from the Lord for missions. I know there's people out there like, I wish we didn't have this internet thing. It's just wicked. Well, you know what? Those people aren't trying to get the gospel to remote people so they can just zip it. So we love internet here. It has made our ministry so much easier in some regards, or it's made it to where we can do so much more work. So it doesn't really actually get easier. We're just allowed to do a whole lot more work. And I'm all about that. Anything that advances the message of the lamb slaughtered so that others can have life is something that I am pumped about. So you guys, when Yen says that technology is a good thing, you listen to him. Don't listen to the one that's like, internet's a bad thing. Radio, internet, now radio is up the hill. They don't know what they're talking about because they don't know how much that stuff reaches people. All right? People are going to hell. People are going to hell here who've never heard of Jesus Christ. And without an airplane, without internet, without radio, they're that much less likely to hear how Jesus Christ died for their sins and rose from the grave so that they could have eternal life. Hey, technology's allowing me to send this to you. Love you guys. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. God bless. Tyler Nickel out. See ya.
All right. He started preaching that I got to come off. Okay. So anyway, I'm just telling you, and listen, this is amazing. He is 7,000 miles away. I texted him and then he sent me a video email back. I mean, that's amazing. It's an amazing thing. And he says he uses technology every single day. God has used that for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, technology has changed quite a bit, right? We're thankful that the Lord has not changed, but you know what else has not changed? The way Satan tempts us. You know, although technology has changed, Satan's tactics have not. I'm reminded in the passage, for some of you that want to go there, in 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, that's why I put the lion up there, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And Satan has not changed the way he wants to impact your life. And because of that, as parents and as young people and as grandparents, and it doesn't matter what area of your life, we have to look at this technology and realize that Satan will use the same thing, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life to trip you up and to mess up your influence in this world. You know, one of the biblical examples that I like to look at, you know what, it's, and it gets me every time because it's a sad story. But remember this one, the rooftop encounter? Now, we're not going to turn there. It's in 2 Samuel 11, but can you picture this with me? Here's King David, and it was the time when kings were supposed to go out to battle. Now, we're not really sure why he wasn't at battle. You know, some people give a bunch of excuses. The Bible doesn't really say why he wasn't there. But this was the time for kings go forth to battle, and he was not. He stayed in Jerusalem, and he stayed in the palace. Well, here he is, and on one night, he's just going out there, walking around on top of his palace, and I don't know if he looked up to the sky and maybe started penning the words, the heavens declare the glory of God, but the firmament showeth his handiwork. I don't know what really happened, but all of a sudden he hears the splashing of water and maybe a beautiful voice singing out. He goes over to the edge and then he peers over the edge, and because his palace was higher than all the houses around, he sees a beautiful young woman bathing herself, the woman Bathsheba. And then all of a sudden, he had a choice to make. He looks, but instead of turning away like a righteous king and a child of God should do, turn away and say, Father, I saw something, please forgive me, prayed, get out his harp, read something, pull out the scrolls, go talk to Nathan the prophet. I don't know, he could have done something. But instead, because he was not protecting himself, I don't know why, he takes a deeper look. And the look turns into a lust. And then after that, he lusts after her in his heart. And then he walks away. But he could have stopped there. He could have stopped there, gotten on his knees before God and said, Father, I've lusted after this word. Please forgive me. This is wrong. I should not be. I'm the king of Israel. I have people your people to lead, and I need wisdom. I need power. I need your strength. I need your influence. Instead of doing that, he calls one of his guards and says, go get her for me. And this idea that started off with just seeing something brews in his heart. We know the story goes. She stays with him that evening. She gets pregnant. Then after that, the story continues. He could have gotten on his face before God and said, Father, I've sinned before you. Please forgive me. I need to tell the husband I'm a wicked servant. And what did I do? Instead of doing that, no, he calls for Uriah. And you know what's interesting? Uriah was one of David's mighty men. And I have a feeling, the Bible doesn't say this, but I have a feeling that Uriah was probably one of David's closest friends. I mean, they fought battles together. They were in a cave together. They were running from Saul together. They were just buddies. They were close. They were friends. They loved each other, I bet. I know he was a king, but still, Uriah was one of his finest men he's ever had. But because he could not guard his eye gate and he could not control the flesh gate, then it turned into pride gate. And after that, he comes in, he calls Uriah. He tells Uriah, why don't you come back from the battle and why don't you spend a night with your wife, hoping that he would think it's his child. And after that, you know, Uriah is more righteous than King David, and he does that, which is right, because other people are dying on the battlefield. He goes back to battle. And after that, he sends an envelope, and he gets a messenger courier with an envelope that says, basically, put him in the hottest part of the battle so that Uriah will die. And Uriah carries his own death sentence all the way to Joab. And then Joab reads the letter, looks at Uriah, says, here are the orders. You're going up to the battle. And then Uriah dies. So because David could not control his eyes, because David could not control his flesh, because David could not control the pride, because of that, he fell and he lost his influence and he paid dearly. And the children, the country of Israel paid dearly because of his sin. Now he got right with God after that. But why go through all of that when you can prevent it in the first place? So that's why when we see something like technology, it's like this. It's like a vehicle. You get somebody gives you a brand new vehicle. Maybe it's a nice sports car. And then all of a sudden, you know, you have a 12-year-old son or a 12-year-old daughter who says, man, that's a great car, Dad. Can I drive it? And you take the keys and you just throw it to the kid. Then you say, have fun, run amok on the roads. That's smart, right? No rightful parent would do this unless you're like 1935 or 1940s when nobody had driver's license, right? But the idea is, you know, you don't give a 12-year-old a sports car with keys. Why? Because he doesn't understand the responsibility. Because he doesn't understand how to use a tool. Because he doesn't understand the rules of the road. Because he's not smart, intelligent enough to be able to handle these things. But it's interesting that we'll take a phone like this and we'll buy one because our kids are under pressure to get them for Christmas. And we'll take one, we'll throw it to our kids and say, have fun, run amok. And that's what happens. And then we have pastors that leave the pulpit because they can't handle it. And we have children that go astray, and then the parents are now, they're dealing with a child who's addicted to pornography. And we have all sorts of families and relationships and Facebook fights and families that can't communicate with each other again. Why? All because they didn't understand how to control the device. So it's not that the car is evil. It's not that the technology is evil. You just need to know how to use it. So I'm going to give you some tips on how we can use it. Now, there's a couple of things we have to be careful of. There are some definite technological pitfalls. I'm just going to roll through this, but it's obvious by scripture what it says. First of all, I think it's very obvious that we see that technology promotes self-glorification. Can we just check the names for a second? MySpace, YouTube, Facebook, okay? You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes you just need to get rid of Facebook and get your face in the book, right? So I think sometimes we look at these things, and now if you have one of these, I have all those social medias, you know? I've got all the medias, all right? Because I'm the media director, so I have to know how they work, okay? But the idea, though, is, you know, you look at this and think about it. When you really think about it, it's a very me-centric, not a God-centric environment. Now, many of you, I follow you.
Yes, I do.
But you know what? I love it because I follow a pastor on Twitter, and guess what he tweets? Encouraging things, Bible verses, things that help each other. Some of the teenagers, they post some cool little things and fun things, and I like following what they do, and it's funny, it's entertaining. Sometimes it's very helpful, and I like some of the things that you guys post, but you need to be careful that you're not just trying to promote your own agenda. You're here for a purpose. You're not your own. You are bought with a price, right? So therefore, glorify your body with your flesh and with your life. So it does promote self-glorification. We need to be careful of this. The Bible says, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. That's Proverbs chapter 6, and if you want to look that up, it's in your notes as well. You want to be careful about things and the environment that promotes yourself. You can use it if you have a business and things like that, we understand. But think about it. What are you trying to accomplish when you're getting on Facebook? Are you trying to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you just trying to make yourself look good? So just be careful about that. What about this? It encourages a false reality. You know, the lure and the mystique of a virtual world has caused major problems in society. We have a decrease of real interaction with real people. Do you understand this concept? Like, our kids are more focused on what they're doing on their phones, and they're not even having conversations with the people around them. We need to be very careful of this. I tell my teenagers all the time at school, listen, you know, if I'm talking to you, unless it's your mom on the phone, okay, you know, you look at me in the eyes, you put the phone away. You know, and listen, I'm the tech guy, all right? Okay, do you understand this? But I've noticed, like, when I, especially if I'm talking to my wife, okay, you better put that thing in your pocket, son, all right? Because you're talking to your wife, you look in your eyes and you say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. Don't check the score, yes, ma'am, you know? And you look and you talk. And you know what? You know who notices this? Our generation doesn't really care because we're used to it. Older generations, I would say, no, wiser generations, I'm telling you what, you do that with Kurt, he'll break that phone in half, okay? He'll grab that phone in your pocket and break it. Now, I say that, but you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that old school mentality that you, when you address an adult, you talk to them, and you have a conversation with them. It's interesting that our dinner tables anymore, now it's everybody's on their mobile devices and nobody's having dinner together anymore. Well, then what's the point of the family then? Just get your own house and get a job and move out. That's not the point that God designed. That's for later on. You know, when you move on, but don't graduate your kids at 10 years old. Do you understand? One day they'll leave your home. Enjoy them while you got them. Nothing wrong with a mobile device, but put it away at the dinner table, right? So you got to be careful about those things. It encourages a false reality. People can be some fake person online because they're insecure about who God made them. You know, I think we need to be careful because this false reality concept, people will make also, you can create any account and pretend you're anybody you are, that you're not, and have a fake reality out there and somehow have some sort of satisfaction. The only satisfaction you'll ever get is when you're fulfilling God's will for your life and you're doing the plan that God designed for you. That's when you will get ultimate satisfaction in your life. So don't be digitally distracted and don't be careful of the rooftop experiences of a lure or a mystique of a false reality. I can be whoever I want to be and not be real. What about this? Man, consumes enormous amount of time. This your device will suck time out of your life. And I found myself with this. You need to be careful. You need to set time limits for when you're checking your email. For if you're in business, you need to set time limits to say, I'm going to check Facebook for 10 minutes if you like to use Facebook. Don't go on there. Don't surf the web. Don't go on there and just catch a wave because you'll never get back, okay? You need to set time limits for your kids. If they say before, you know, you can play your device from 7 to 8 o'clock at night and or homework or whatever, you need to take control of this for your family or else you will lose your family. You will lose their attention. You'll no longer be exciting because they're too entertained by this world. You'll lose that love and that time that you have with them. And it'll just, I mean, I'm telling you what, it'll suck the time. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So you want to make sure you redeem that time. Use it for what it's worth. It also causes distractions and interruptions. You know, I already talked about this, but I mean, I'm telling you what, learn to put that thing away. I don't know if you make rules in your house, okay? At dinner table, we have no tablets. Okay, when you come home from school, you put your phones and your devices in the bin. Mom and dad can check them out, see what's on there, and then set certain time allotments for video games, for watching TV, for things like that, because you know what happens, you'll get distracted. You know, there's a big debate whether real books or digital books are the thing nowadays. I'm telling you, I'm fighting that one. I'm reading all the blogs that say real books are awesome, and I'm reading all the blogs that says digital books are awesome. So I've got both right now, and it's not awesome. Okay, so because I don't know which one to pick. But to be honest, I will say one thing. There's something unique, and I'm not saying, I have a Bible, Olive Tree Bible on my iPad. I love doing study with it. Studying on a digital device is fantastic because you can do cross-references, look up words, lots of great tools. But I don't know, there is something physical, mental, that happens in your brain when you open a book, like a Bible, and you thumb through and you smell the pages, I'm just telling you this, there's a reaction. And then when you touch it and your brain maps the memory of where that passage is, and when you turn it, it's like this. But when you have a digital device, you're swiping the page. There's no contact and no physical. Is that wrong? I think digital devices are great for like education, resources, research, things like that. But it's okay to pick up a book once in a while, you know, and it's okay to write a love note by hand. You know, we can send an email, but a handwritten note will always pull the trump card on that one. I'm just telling you what. My kids love it when I write it. They're like, you use your special pen. And I'm like, yes, you know. And I can text my kids in school, my teenagers, but I like writing them handwritten notes. Why? Because, I don't know, people don't do that anymore. So don't get so far in the digital realm that you can't get back to reality. And also, when you're on your digital device, you might be reading your Bible, and also a notification comes on to play Candy Crush, and you hit it, and then you just got distracted. And you know what I'm talking about, right? It's easy to get distracted digitally, so just be careful. I already have ADD. I don't need help, okay? So next thing, it promotes earthly thinking instead of eternal thinking. And this is one of the things that I think our Lord Jesus Christ is probably most saddened about. Because we're so consumed in our digital world that we no longer have an impact on eternal things. You know, we can like a bunch of things, but we are not following. We'll follow everybody in the world, but we're not following him. We're liking everybody's posts, but we're not liking what he has to say. Do you understand? We'll befriend everybody we can, but we're not a friend with the one who died for us. Do you understand? And we just have to be, we have to focus back. And remember, I'm telling you from experience and from authority of, I am the digital guy here. I am the media ministry director, okay? I direct media, but I realize, man, I got to pull back sometimes. Do a digital detox diet. I don't know. You know, pull the digital, turn the things off, get away from it for a little bit, breathe, you know, talk to your family members, you know, communication, you know, and just enjoy what you have. And you know what? Honestly, many of you are doing this anyway, okay? But don't lose that. Don't lose that as the onslaught comes on. Use technology for what it's worth and use it as it's supposed to be a blessing to you. You know, it also, not only does it do this, you know, the Bible, obviously the passage there would say, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust and iPads and Android devices doth corrupt and break screens, where thieves break through and steal all your devices, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, souls, people, relationships, family members, lost people, missions work, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through, nor steal, nor even try, okay? Because they cannot get that which is eternal. And that's something that nobody can ever take away from you. But you can prevent God from working that way because we're so distracted by this world. What about this? Provides a false sense of privacy as well. In Ezekiel chapter 8, there's a story where God leads Ezekiel to go look in the temple. And then he doesn't go through the front door. There's a little hole in the wall, and he starts digging at the wall. And then he looks through, and in the veil, he sees 70 elders there, and they're committing a whoredoms before God. They're worshiping idols inside amidst the incense and the smoke that God, it was designed for God's worship. They're doing all these abominable things in secret. And then the word that they finally say in Ezekiel 8:12, then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. Well, God has not forsaken you, and he sees everything you do. Not only that, there's a major digital trace on your life. I don't know if you realize this. Every phone message, every text message, every email can be traced back and is hard copied in servers all over the world. I mean, I have hard drives that we have wiped multiple times over here because we've run out of space on everything, and I can retrieve information that was there about 8, 9, 10 years ago. I can find files, and we've wiped the drives multiple times, hard drives. I'm telling you what, there is a digital trace on your life, so make sure that the trace is clean. Do you understand me? Now, if you've done something against God, get it right, get on your face before him, ask him for wisdom and help, and move on. But I'm telling you what, sometimes we think it's all done in secret. It's not. And the problem is this. Sometimes we think we're doing something in secret. It's amazing that if somebody like your parent was watching you do this, you would feel much ashamed. But it's funny that your parent's not in the room and God's watching us and we don't care. There's a major problem with society today. Do you understand this? Why do we not care what God thinks? You know, when Joseph was tempted by this beautiful woman, Potiphar's wife, she tempted him, and he said, "I cannot sin against God." He was in a country that nobody worshiped God except for him. He was the only one. Nobody cared about his God. He could have done whatever he wants, and nobody would have known. Yet Joseph had character, and he did what was right because he was afraid of sinning against God. I think it's because we've gotten so far away from him as Christianity that we don't feel his presence anymore. You need to get on your face before God every day so you can feel his moving, so that when you get that kick, all right, to not do something, you're not kicking against the pricks, right? The idea, like when Paul got hit, he said, "Man, what's going on?" And he was doing that which was wrong. And so the idea is when God is moving your life, follow that moving. But you need to be walking with God first. What about this? Encourages gossip. Need I say more? Go on Facebook. Check it out. You might get sick after a few minutes of just watching what people talk about. Hey, listen, you know, the world will talk about gossip. They don't know any better. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It's been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. We ought not be gossiping about one another. Do you understand this? This is the remnant. These are the people that will influence Las Vegas. If we're too busy gossiping with one another, we will never reach this city. If you want to reach this city, let's not gossip about each other. Let's say positive things and things that uplift each other, and let's not tear each other down in our schools and on our internet and things about and make comments about our husband or wife on Facebook. Do you understand this? Let's lift each other up. Let's use the body of Christ and walk in unity and with one accord. Next one. Here we have is it flaunts improper relationships. It's all over the internet. We see affairs abound. We see immoral relationships that happen all because you were talking to the wrong place at the wrong time and you got involved in something. You had a rooftop experience and you did not protect yourself. And we need to protect ourselves. What about this? It provides a playground for predators. You know, there was a case with a 10-year-old girl named Olivia who unknowingly allowed a predator into her life while playing Minecraft. In July 2015, ABC affiliate reported that the man posed as a 12-year-old boy, befriended the girl, pretended that he wanted to be her boyfriend, and even sent her a photo of a boy that he claimed to be. Eventually, he asked her to send him an inappropriate picture. Olivia didn't do it, but she didn't tell her mother either, who only found out about the relationship when she saw the request for pictures on her daughter's phone. An expert in the article said that the predators are aggressively using live-action video games to target children. Thank the Lord that the mom caught this. But I'm telling you what, there are stories and stories and stories of parents that don't. And I'm not trying to make it seem like the internet is evil and out to get you, but I'm telling you, your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion. And he's seeking around whom he may devour. Do you understand this? David was the great shepherd of Israel. He had been able to sling lions. He had been able to sling to death a giant. And this shepherd boy, who was king, walked over the edge and allowed Satan to devour him as a sheep because he was not where the sheep were supposed to be. Interesting lesson from King David. So you want to make sure you're in the right place. You want to be protected. You want to do that which is right. What about this? It makes your personal information easily accessible. You know, young people give it all information about where they live. Their contact information is all over Facebook. I can find out a lot of information about you. Just give me your name. Give me a couple days and I'll pretty much find out a lot of stuff about you. Even if I'm lucky, because I know how to get there, I could probably even get your social security number and possibly even your bank account number, okay? Now, I won't do this because I love you, but I'm just telling you, and because I have a little bit of computer training, do you understand? Some people, they have no life. That's what they do. 40-year-old guys who have no jobs, they sit at home looking for easy prey. They're predators and that's what they do. Okay, it's sick and it's a twisted world we live in, but that's what they do because they look for information that's easy to get. Where do you go to school? How old are you? Oh, I live in Las Vegas. Oh, I'm 13 too. Oh, I like this. I'll see you at the basketball game. You're done. You go to pick up your daughter at a basketball game and she's not there. You know, I'm telling you, this happens over and over and over. I stopped reading the stories because it gets depressing, but I'm telling you, it can happen. It can happen to you. If you're not on guard, you got to take care of your children. You got to watch what they're doing. It increases exposure to pornographic content. the pornography industry is having a heyday. They are the number one most, profitable industry in the world right now for when it comes to the internet. They are soliciting anywhere from 8 to 14-year-old boys and girls. You say, wait a second, I thought adult stuff was for adults. No. They want your child when they're 8 years old, so they get a taste of it. And then after that, when your child's like, oh, that's weird, I don't understand this, they'll say, well, wait a second, I remember that when I was 8 years old, and now they're 14 and 15, and there's some hormones going on. And then they'll look at it and say, oh, I want more. And it doesn't stop, right? And then it gets a little bit more. And then they get them hooked on websites. They get them hooked on material. They get them hooked on content. These young men view women with the wrong type of eyes. They're messed up in their mind. These women think that they're objects and they're no longer valued before God. And then all of a sudden, then when they're 18, 19, they sell themselves downtown. They do whatever. They lose their purity. They can't have a thought life. They have a hard time praying. They have a hard time living life because they got sucked in when they were 8 years old. It goes from Pokemon to porn. I'm just telling you, that's how it works. It goes from little things, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, and it gets to big things. And we think it always starts off with this big encounter, but I'm telling you what, I don't know about you, and I'll be completely honest with you, I remember I saw something when I was 8 or 9 years old. We had just gotten the internet. We got dial-up in our house, right? And we finally had, like, instead of text-based internet, it was, like, visual. So we went on Google, and I was preaching, actually, in my church in French I was in Montreal. I was preaching on angels. I typed the word angels on the internet, on Google. I was like, I'm going to find a picture of Michael the Archangel. I looked, and my dad was sitting there on the couch watching me doing this. And all of a sudden, a picture within, I clicked, huge picture came up. And you know what's interesting? I can't get it out of my mind. God has filtered it out. Do you understand? But those images are in there. You have, like, the most amazing flash drive in your brain. It doesn't go away. Now, God can cover it, replace it. And I know I'm not guilty of that, but my dad, I remember he went over there. We didn't know what to do. He unplugged the computer out of the wall. He's like, unhooked the internet. He's like, my mom's like on the phone. Why did the phone go out? You know? And my dad just unplugged it. And we didn't know. We did not know that we're supposed to do. And then finally, my dad had a talk. He says, all right, we got to do something. He said, let's not do the internet. We'll figure something out, okay? And then, you know, we didn't know. And I saw this picture, and now it's there. Do you understand? Now, we don't dwell on those things, but the thing, I'm just saying, it starts young, and it starts young, and then it gets worse, and it worse, and worse. So how do you protect your family? How do you protect the ones you love? All right, now, I'm going to give you some things here really quickly because we'll be done. But the first thing I want to say is this. You need to filter the access to the internet. Now, this can be done through physical barriers. Obviously, you can tell your kids, we don't use the internet in this house at this certain days. Okay. This is the problem. I know your children, many of them are saved, okay, and especially at a young age, but before, like, the age of 25, I don't know what happens to the brain, but the brain is still developing, and we know that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? And your wonderful little children, when you tell them not to do something, will do the exact thing that you told them not to do. Do you understand? And listen, I'm an adult, and I have the same problem, because we're sinful, okay? And then we're walking in the Spirit. But they will be tempted to see things and do things. So the idea is, what do? The first thing you can do is you can filter. Let me give you some options that you have. First thing you want to do is you want to filter your internet router at home, okay? What that means is this. You have a little Wi-Fi hotspot box if you have the internet at home. You want to filter it. Now, I'm going to be very careful how I say this because I don't want to lose you in my techno speak, okay? But what happens is this. When you go on Google, all right, and you type in the best pastor in the world and David Tice comes up. We know this, okay? It's obvious, okay? You know, and we didn't even pay for that. It just happens, okay? So when you type up in Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, when you type that in Google and you hit enter, what happens is in the cyber arena, in the cloud, the information gets sent out of your modem, your router at home, and it goes into cyberspace, and it goes to something called the DNS, a domain name service, okay, a domain name server. And this computer in cyberspace says, all right, Liberty Baptist Church, who is this? Where are they? I don't know where they are. Let's find the address. Where can we find them? So this little computer in cyberspace says, where can we find them? And normally your computer is pointing to Google's DNS, or if you bought Cox Internet, it's pointing to Cox's server, or if you have CenturyLink, CenturyLink's server, okay? Wherever you have Time Warner Cable, it's going to that server, and Cox Internet is saying, all right, what's Liberty Baptist Church? And it starts going, where? And it finds the computer in California, wherever we have our server that's backed up all over the world, okay? And it finds Liberty Baptist Church. It knows the telephone number, the IP address of the computer, and it finds it, and it says, there it is, and then you click enter, and then Liberty Baptist Church website pops up. So the goal is, if you can tell your router to, instead of tell, say, Google, show me where to find stuff, or instead of saying, Cox, find you stuff, you can say, OpenDNS, help me find this. And OpenDNS is a free filtering software that will filter all of the traffic that you type in, and it's free. I'm going to say, is it easy to set up? It's not like one button, but if you follow the instructions, schools, institutions, businesses use OpenDNS. Our school and our church use that. It's the free, it's the cheapest, easiest solution you can use just to filter pornographic content, adult material. Like, I can turn off social media, but then all the teachers will say, I lost Facebook, you know? So we can filter and we can deny and add access to certain websites through that. So the goal is, from your computer, you're trying to go to the computer in the cloud that says, where can I find this information? You want to have a contained, secure place. OpenDNS.com is where you can start. I'm just telling you, it's free. That's what Pastor Matt said, give them free stuff before you give them the paid stuff. Okay, so free stuff. Another thing you can do is there's software you can buy for your computer that will protect your device. So like you can use something like NetNanny. I've used NetNanny for years. I liked it. There was a couple things I just switched recently because... you know, NetNanny secures my device, my laptop, but it doesn't work with my phone, okay? So I said, well, that doesn't help. And the other problem is this. When you're at home, it's nice because you can go to OpenDNS and all your stuff is secure. The second your kid turns off the Wi-Fi and they walk out of the house, now they have free internet again. And you can't, your cell phone company will not filter it through OpenDNS, okay? We'll talk about what you can do with your cell phones in a second, okay? But the idea is you can use software like NetNanny. NetNanny can be anywhere between $40 and $80 a year. You say, $40, $80 a year. Do you want to protect your family? It's worth it, okay? Recently, I was talking to Pastor Griffin, and he says he uses this, Custodio. I've been using it too. They've changed a lot. Custodio is a fantastic app. You know why? Because you can pull up reports like this. It blocks every device in your house, your phones, your Android phones, your iPhones, your tablets, your laptops, and it runs on top of that, and it uses the same kind of concept as OpenDNS. And this one I got it for $32. It was on discount. It was 20% off. All right, it's about $44 a year. And what it does is it flags every website you've been to, every word you searched, every text message you sent. It shows you what apps you were using on your iPhone, your iPad, how much time you spent on it. You can actually filter the time that you take on that device. So you can say, all right, my kid can use YouTube from 7 to 8 at night, and you lock it, and at 8:01, they get on there, and they're like, I can't use YouTube, okay? And you say, okay, no. And you do that. Now, listen, you tell your kids, I'm going to protect your thing. And you know what's interesting? I talked to Jordan Griffin. I asked him, I said, hey, brother, so he's a teenager that goes to our school here. His father's Pastor Griffin. I said, Jordan, what do you think about Custodio? And he was like, well, you know, to be honest, it can be annoying at times because it'll block stuff. I'm like, I'm trying to do research, you know? But he said, and this is what he said. He said, you know what? But I'm thankful I have a dad who cares enough about my purity. That's what he told me. I said, you know what? That's right. And then I texted Jordan's dad. I said, hey, Pastor Griffin, I said, that's awesome. You're protecting your family. He's like, man, it's a battle every day, brother, but we're going to win this one, you know? So that's what he said. And you know what? And that's okay. They're doing something. Does that make sense? Some of you, and I'm not blaming you, I'm just saying I've been in this boat too. Some of you have taken the keys and you've thrown it to your kids, and now you're like, I want those keys back, okay? So you need to make sure you're taking care of your children. Look at this report here. I just randomly put it on one of my devices. It told me how much time I spent. Now, my computer's always on, so that's why I said it. I spent 30 hours on apps, okay? So, and that was because my laptop's always on, but it shows you, I said, I use Safari to do research for this message. I use Pages to type this message. I was using Keynote to get the slides ready. I was using Illustrator because I was drawing little pictures. You know, so it tells you exactly, it tells you all the blocked words. It tells you all the accepted words. It blocks all the content, and it sends a report to your wife or to your husband or to whoever in the family every single day. It says, this is what your child has been doing. And apparently, they don't have adult icons, so I'm a 33-year-old child at my house right now. So I got a little emoji face, you know, in there. So that's what it works. So I'm telling you, Custodio has been fantastic. I actually love it. I was telling Keith about it earlier. I was like, ooh, I was thinking about something like that. So I think it's a great device. You could protect up to 5 devices, any type of devices, and for your home. Okay, I know I'm spending a lot of time on this, but it's important. Okay, the next thing is this: you got to filter your TV. All right. And this is one of my favorite things. Praise Jesus for VidAngel. All right, so VidAngel is a is a not a software solution, but we know we have television programs that we watch and movies that you like to rent possibly or go to the theater. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to find out what's good in the theater or not, you know. So there's, you can use an app called Plugged In. So if a movie comes out, you say, is this good to watch? Does it have any curse words in it? Does it have any content that's inappropriate? You look on Plugged In. It's by Focus on the Family. They'll tell you this word was said, this word was said, this scene was here, this is this, this is this, this is this. And then you can tell your children, no, we're not going to watch this movie. And then you just, you move on. And as an adult, you know, you just, you take control and you do what's right. And but then sometimes you want to watch movies at home. And often we've talked about ClearPlay. And ClearPlay is great. But ClearPlay only works with DVDs. And then now they have a Blu-ray ClearPlay, and it works well, but then that means you have to go to Redbox, get a $1.75 movie, whatever, pay $8 a month to ClearPlay, and then download filters, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't, but it's a great option. But I'm one of those people that I'm always plugged in, like technology. So I said, I want to stream movies that are free, that are filtered. And VidAngel is a wonderful service, okay? Many of you have used it. Let me show you what VidAngel does. It'll actually let you block every single thing in a movie before you stream it to your device. This movie is a popular movie that most of the teenagers here probably saw. I can guarantee you that. And it's got sex, nudity, and immodesty. There was 11 immodest male scenes. Now you say, what is that? It could have said, man doesn't have a t-shirt on, man is in a bathing suit, so you can filter each one you want. Off, on, off, on, off, on. Apparently there was some female immodesty. That's something that definitely I don't want my family seeing. So you can turn it off. And you could say both male and female, maybe they were together, you turn it off. And then when you watch this movie live stream through your app, through your phone, through your Apple TV, your Roku, an Android device, you can rent a movie, an HD movie for $2, okay? Or a standard quality for $1. And you can filter it while it's playing, and it skips it beautifully. And movies come out every single day. Now, here's another one. Here's a movie that I know some of our students watched. And these are the words that they listened to, 26 words they heard in the theater, some of your teenagers saw. And listen, I'm not blaming. I'm not saying, what kind of parent are you? I'm just saying, I looked at it and I said, I didn't realize this movie had this stuff in there. You know, I wouldn't go see it because we have a policy and we don't see movies with any words in them, right, at our church. But the idea, though, is by the way, what rating do you think this movie is? Yeah, PG-13. When was the last time that there was allowed to be 6 F words in a PG-13 movie? I know we're live streaming everything right now. Do you want your child watching this at a movie theater with his friends? Do you understand me? Like, this is not wholesome entertainment. But you can take this movie and you can rent it on VidAngel when it comes out, and there will be no language, no nudity. You can cut out the violence. You can even, if it's Star Wars, you can cut Jar Jar Binks out completely out of all the first 3 movies, all right? They even have a Jar Jar filter for Star Wars because, you know, you can watch them. But do you understand what I'm saying? This is great. Now, some of you may say, if it's PG-3, we don't watch it at all. That, great, good for you. I'm just saying, some of us, we're in Las Vegas, you want to watch a movie, you want to have a wholesome fun with your family, but you don't want 26 profane words in your movie. You watch it with VidAngel. Is that good? VidAngel is a great service, okay? You go on there and you look it up. What about this? Not only do you want to filter your access to the internet, you want to monitor as well what they are doing. These are options for you that you can do. First of all, you know, how much time is really spent on media? You know, they did some polls in January of last year, and some polls came out. On the average, people use the internet for about 4.5-5 hours a day. Most people use mobile phones for about 2.5 hours a day, and social media for a little under 3 hours a day or so. And these are just random polls that they took. But my question is, like, what did we used to do before we had this stuff? Life, right? Now, is it wrong to use social media? Just make sure you're doing something that is profitable. Do you understand? Profitable is a word we don't use anymore, okay? And the word wholesome is the word we don't use anymore. But it's got to be wholesome, it's got to be profitable, and make sure you're doing something that can help. Know the apps that your kids are using. You know, if you have a device, I'm gonna rattle off some things here in a second for you, but here's some apps that you might want to be aware of. Are they all evil? No. But there's some apps that definitely you need to know about. There's some dating apps on there that will hook you up with people that are nearby that have the same kind of Facebook information about you. Apps like Tinder, Blender, Down. You know, you can meet somebody, you go on there. And the problem is, these say they're restricted for people 17 years and older. It doesn't do a check. It doesn't check your age. A 12-year-old kid can get on this and find a girl that's 12 years old that goes to Cimarron, and this kid goes to LBA, and they can meet up after school. Does that make sense? Yeah, I don't want my kid meeting up anybody after school. Do you understand? They're going to meet up in the principal's office if they do. Okay, so this is not something that we want happening. I honestly say, if your teenager has a dating app, you need to take their phone away, okay? Why is your teenager dating? My daughter will date when she's done college after 4 PhDs. Okay, so... So we'll deal with that when we get there. But do you understand? Listen, to be honest too, if you are married, you don't need a dating app, obviously. Does that make sense? It's amazing though, I was reading the statistics, how many people that are actually married that have dating apps. Why? Okay? Foolish. What about social apps? Facebook, you post content about yourself. You can post Bible verses, you can post whatever. You can post pictures, video, content. You can like it, you can share it to other people. Twitter, you can post little blurbs, short little text, even images as well. On Twitter, you follow people that are on Twitter and they can follow you back. So the idea is, be careful who you follow. If they have content that is not wholesome and profitable, unfollow those people. Tumblr, and I'm not gonna go through all of them, but Tumblr, Instagram, Snapchat, these are other social media that are visual in nature. Instagram is one where you post not text, but you post pictures. So you see a little flower outside, you take a picture, and then all of your lady friends, oh, like, you know? And then they'll like it, and then you can say, oh, that's a beautiful flower, and then you say, this is this kind of flower. Nothing wrong with that. You know, you want to do that? That's fine. The problem is a girl that you follow posts an inappropriate picture, and then our guys at LBA don't know what to do, and they like. Do you understand? So then what our guys need to do and our girls need to do is stop following those people or get their Instagram taken away, okay? Because it's causing major problems. Instagram is a visual form and people are posting inappropriate content and everybody in the world that follows you can see this content. Snapchat is a unique concept. What it is I've seen some people use this wholesomely, but the idea is you take a picture and then you snap your friends, so your 35 friends that follow you get this picture, and when they get their phone, they look, and it's a picture of you going, you know, and then on there, then they go, oh, and it lasts 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then it disappears, and nobody can record it and never see it again. You say, okay, what's with that? The problem is, can you see problems with this? You snap something inappropriate, and then now your friends all see it, and then now they take a screenshot of that inappropriate picture and they post that on their social media saying, hey, look what so-and-so did. And then now you go to school the next day and now you get bullied, blackmail, and they'll say, if you don't post worse pictures than that, we won't follow you. And then there's peer pressure. Now, I hope this is not happening in our church, but do you understand? I'm saying this is causing major problems in the world. There's places that are banning Snapchat from school because kids are getting beat up, bullied, they're being blackmailed, and because they posted one inappropriate picture, and then if they don't post one that's worse, then the spiral keeps going. So you need to be very aware of these things. If your child has Snapchat, ask them, what are you doing with Snapchat? And ask them, do we really need it? You may want it, you may not, but I'm just telling you, the picture stays there and it disappears. So there's no recollection. They can do whatever they want in the bedroom, right? That's nice. Is that what you really want? Snapchat in the bedroom? That's not what I want, okay? What about this? Messaging apps. These are apps that you can use to send content to each other. There's a whole bunch of them. Ask.fm is one where you can ask questions and they pull questions and then you have answers. The problem is there's no restriction on the question asked, and then you can repost these things. So you can post questions that are inappropriate and then you can answer them and then you can share them to your friends. Look up, what's wrong with Yik Yak? What's wrong with Whisper? Whisper, yeah, you're whispering, nobody knows what you said, and you post it to everybody around you in the neighborhood, okay? So be careful about those things. WhatsApp is an app that replaces text messaging. So back in the day when you had like a tablet that you couldn't text from, you would use WhatsApp to text your friends, and you can send them pictures. It could be used for good, but you could also see where there could definitely be problems. So how do we combat this? Use discernment and use wisdom, okay? Use discernment and you use wisdom with your family. Protect your personal information. Teach your children to do the same. Your children are not allowed to talk about where you live. They're not allowed to share your personal info and their personal info. They are not allowed to tell where they go to school. This is what I would tell my children, okay? Why? Because any predator that has these three pieces of information can prey on my children, okay? Don't open unknown email attachments. When you get emails, don't open things that you don't recognize. Lose 30 pounds overnight. This is not a good thing, okay? It's going to take you somewhere you don't want to go. Avoid chat rooms and be careful who you network with socially. Avoid dangerous sites, sites that have a lot of advertisements, sites that have a lot of pop-ups, sites that try to install things on your computer. Get out of there. Sites that offer free download movies, free iTunes music, free keygens and cracks and software and pirated software. And if it's free and everybody else pays for it, it's not free. Do you understand? Teenagers, that was the big thing when I was growing up was why buy a game for $70 when you can go down to the electronics boutique and, you know, that's where we used to go shop or the GameStop and rent the game for a day, burn a copy, and then sell it to your friends. Yeah, this is really wholesome things that we're doing here as Christians, right? And I got caught up in that thing. I remember I was in Pensacola and guys were pirating copies of Windows 7 or something when it came out, or Windows 3.1 when it came out, you know? And people were copying things. And I mean, one day at Pensacola, the FBI showed up. And they came in, and the next day, 15 guys were gone out of the dorm from the FBI. And now, I'm going to go home to mommy. No, you're not anymore. You're an adult. You're done. You know what they were doing? They had like this trafficking ring of like copying DVDs illegally, and they were selling them. This is a Pensacola Christian college. And they got kicked out, and they got fined, and the FBI took them, and we don't know where they are now. I say that. You say, well, I'm telling you, if you want a video game, if you want a movie, if you want music, save up, pay for it. If it's too expensive, you don't need it. Okay, that's the secret. You don't need to be trading. You're gonna go down a scary, scary road when you start doing that kind of thing. Implement rules for the internet and the use of the internet in your house. Tell your kids this is what we're gonna do. This is what we're not gonna do. If you wanna ask me, I have later on. I can give you a family pledge. Maybe we can post it on our website. We can email it to all of you. Do some of that, a family pledge that your family can sign. That would be a wise thing to do when you're doing that. There's a couple things. Obviously, we looked at some apps. We looked at some video options. There's also, be careful of the video games today. Now, I mentioned the game Minecraft earlier. There's nothing wrong with Minecraft. It's a little kid's game or a teenager adult game, you know, that you build things and stuff. But be careful what that girl posted something. She posted too much information about herself, and she got into a Minecraft chat room and talked about herself, where she shouldn't have been doing that. Does that make sense? A lot of your games now have chat rooms, and they have ways people can communicate and talk to each other. A lot of games have just outright pornographic content, and they're the coolest games on the market right now. And I've known some of you, what you've done is you play the game, but you can't play with the sound, so you don't hear anything. You do whatever you want. It's up to you. A lot of computer games, you can filter out. You could say turn off language, turn off this, and turn it off like a VidAngel. There's a lot of options like that. But you need to know before your kid brings home an M-rated game what's in there. Do you understand? If you're okay with violence and you're okay with that, that's one thing. But just be careful. I'm telling you, they're worse than the movies now. Okay, some of these games. And very, very graphic in what they portray. So just be careful about those things. Now, a couple more tips here for how you can monitor your kids' access as well. Place technology in a well-traveled area of your home. So if you have a computer, put it right there where it's everybody. Put your TV right there. Can they still get around things? Sure, there's no filter that will block everything in the world. If your child wants to do what's wrong, they will find a way to do what's wrong, but you will build up as many barricades so that they have to step over and climb over to be able to get there. And maybe by that time, the Holy Spirit and your training and their conscience will work at it so that they can back off and not have a rooftop experience. Put phones in a central location at night, possibly. These are options. When your kids come home, put their phone in a basket. At night, I used to use my phone for kind of like an alarm clock. You can do that if you want. I would suggest that you turn off Wi-Fi signals in your house at night, and that you wouldn't let that blue light get in their face too much. Students that have that sleep with their phones or tablets get an average about 37 minutes less sleep. They have a hard time sleeping because they were exposed to blue light. Their brain cannot shut down. It's interesting, back in the day, we had candles, we had books. When the candle went out, or when the incandescent light bulb turned off, you know, you could go to sleep fine. I'm just telling you, these kids will fall asleep with an iPad in their face. You know, your kid will have a hard time sleeping doing that. And there's proven science, technology. I've done a lot of research with the health aspect of it. Be careful about all those signals and things like that when they're sleeping. You want them, tell them to read a book and go to bed. That would be a good thing for them to do. You want to make sure you control their device, know all their passwords. Set up accounts. You should know their four-digit PIN thing to get into their phone. You should know their iTunes password. They should have your iTunes account, possibly, so you can monitor what apps they can download, what apps they can not use. You want to make sure that if they have text messaging, you can turn on a feature where when they send a text, you get it as well. A lot of the parents in the school do this, and it's fantastic because I text like mom, and then or I text the daughter, and then the mom responds, and the mom responds back to me, and then I don't know who's talking to me. I'm just like, yes, ma'am, you know? So that's okay. I'd rather have more security than less, but it's fantastic because you can have messages forward. Our pastor uses this, and it works well where, you know, every picture that's taken on one of his phone or his wife's phone gets uploaded to Dropbox, and, you know, she sees everything he sees, and he sees everything she sees. So you can kind of get your photos synchronized if you're worried about something with pictures or people posting things. You can do that. You can also disable the main browser, like on an iPhone or an iPad or something. You could disable Safari, and you can install a safe browser like MobiSip or SafeEyes or Covenant Eyes. These are all options that are available to you. I know I'm rattling off a lot of things, but some of you are writing things down. But the idea is you want to restrict their access, or you can use a whole solution like Custodio, which filters everything all the time. Okay, I really, really like that app I was talking to you about earlier. So you want to make sure you know what apps they're using. You want to know what they're doing on there. You want to know how they downloaded it, how they got it. Make sure that you can track their phones, their messages, and who they're calling and who they're talking to. Remember this, you're the parent. It's your job. That's why America's in a mess. Because parents started playing around, they stopped being parents, and now we have a bunch of 30, 40-year-old kids running around the country, ruling our country, making votes on our country, and we wonder what happened. And it's because the family got torn apart. And parents need to just be parents. And that's your job. Your kids may not like it. That's okay. They'll get over it, just like you did. But the idea, though, is that's not the point, though. I'm telling you, your kids can have great use of technology. They just need to know how to use it. So you got to filter it. You got to monitor it. And then lastly, if something does happen, okay, you need to be like Joseph and apply the free principle. I'm telling you, this works very well when you use it. God designed you to be able to run away. The Bible says, flee also youthful lusts. It says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. Flee fornication. There have no temptation taken you, but as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. God will never put something or allow something in your life that you cannot get away from. If it means turn off the TV, if it means turn off the computer, it means turn in the phone, it means get rid of it until we figure out how we're going to use this. You are the parent, you are the adult, you are the teenager. You need to be responsible for what you're doing. But as parents and as grandparents and as adults, we need to train other people on how to use the technology that God has allowed us to have. God didn't create it, but God has allowed technology to be around us so we can use it for a blessing, or you can let it destroy your family. But if you filter it and you monitor it and you apply principles, God will protect your family, and you'll give a space so that this is what happens. When that rooftop encounter happens, there's filters that are blocking you from seeing the Bathsheba. Do you understand? So that you have time to think, reflect, turn around, pray, sing a song, play the harp, whatever you got to do. Does that make sense? That's the problem. There was no filter. There was no filter, and the guards were down. This strong man, this leader of Israel, lost everything because he let his guard down. And I say that because I think if King David came down here and was able to speak to us, he would have said the same thing. He would have said, protect your family, protect your eyes, protect your flesh, because you know your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I know you might have tons of questions. There's a lot you can do. You as a parent need to research it. Look it up, how to protect my kids. I've given you just a few options tonight, but the idea is, I know I've taken a little while, but I want you to understand that's pastor's heart. He does not want us, this technology, to destroy this church. We can use it for a blessing. See what God has done so far. It's amazing what God has done with technology and allowed us to do, but make sure that you're protecting your family. I'm gonna pray, and then pastor will come up here. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the lessons we've learned. I know we've taken a while here tonight, but Father, there's a lot to be said about instruction and wisdom from your word, Lord. I pray you just help us to apply it in our lives. Help us to be diligent in protecting our families. Lord, help us to live wholesome lives that would be profitable and would be a blessing to you, Father. Help us to follow you in all that we do and say, Lord, and we thank you for it. In your holy and precious name of Jesus, amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.